That is the new hit single, Public Enemy Number 1. The new album is 13. Of course, it's Megadeth, Dave Mustaine. And when we come back in the next segment, we're going to play part of We the People that is extremely powerful with this message of liberty and freedom. Dave Mustaine joins us. We're about to go to break, but let's go ahead and bring Dave up right now. Dave, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Wow,
morning.
Good morning
to all your listeners.
Absolutely. Good morning to all of them. I'm sorry I woke you up yesterday when I called you.
Oh, that's all right. Got to sleep sometime.
You know, I had missed Jimmy Kimmel Live. I don't think I've ever seen you dress up as a Halloween character, much less Frankenstein.
you know, it's funny. I was telling the guys over at Kimmel that when I was 18, I was hanging out with the wrong kind of people and actually had gotten arrested that night dressed up like Eddie from Iron Maiden. But fortunately, that was, it was just one of those young and dumb things, and they let me go. They just wanted to make sure I was some wacko dressed up like Eddie. They'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, pretty scary, especially
plus the
when...
the top of the hatchet didn't help.
Oh, the hatchet part.
Yeah, it was from the album cover Killers, the very first one when Eddie was... That was the first Iron Maiden record I'd heard.
Yeah, that's a scary album cover. He's got blood all over him with the hatchet, and he's got a leering smile.
Yeah, he's winking.
Well, wow, the new album has raced up to the very top of the charts. Congratulations. It only came out, yesterday?
You know, I'm so excited about everything that's happening. We've got such a great campaign right now. The folks at Roadrunner and the folks with my management and all of our representatives with our agency and everything have just really kept this one out of the park. Just paying attention to what, you know, my goals are, what I want to do, and what I have left to do on my bucket list You know, I mean, who would have thought a month and a half ago I would be standing on a stage in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, you've got the Big Four, one of the hottest concerts in the world right now, one of the biggest concerts in the world, and you're about to travel down to South America to giant crowds. Dave Mustaine's our guest. The full interview straight ahead live. It's November 2nd. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, for the next 25 minutes or so, Dave Mustaine joins us. Of course, he was on Jimmy Kimmel a few nights ago and brought down the house. His new album kicked off November 1st and has raced to the top of the charts across the board. The new album is 13. He has the single Public Enemy Number 1 we opened up the start of the show with. Coming up, before he leaves us, we'll play at least part of We the People, I think my favorite piece off of the new album. We'll give you the websites and more. Of course, it's been put out by Roadrunner Records. Dave Mustaine joins us from his home in San Diego. Dave, great to have you here with us again.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Wow, the Big Four, the biggest concert in the world right now. I mean, am I wrong, or is Megadeth turbocharged right now?
Yeah, we're definitely turbocharging it.
I mean, you guys are taking it up to the next level. So much is going on. What is on Dave Mustaine's mind right now?
Well, we leave Monday for South America. We've got Giganto coming up next year. I've got this incredible new thing from a company called Rock Prodigy coming out. It's a guitar application that basically I'm inside of your iPad or your iPhone teaching you how to play guitar. That's going to be coming out next week. And it's not Public Enemy in that. Couple other really great Megadeth songs, Holy Wars and Tornado of Souls too, and stuff like that. And then we're going to be heading over next year to Europe to make up what we missed out. You know, doing the Big Four thing was so huge. There was a lot of little cities got skipped in between that we like to play. So we got a lot of things we got to make up.
Tell us about the Big Four. Are we going to see more of that?
I hope so. You know, that was totally unplanned. It was something that came out of the blue, just like my book. The success of that was mind-blowing, too. You know, having all these things happen is just really, it's foreign for me. So having an opportunity to go and play, again, another Big Four show, yeah, of course we do it. Problem is that the four outfits, all four of us are so big that to get all four groups free in the same neck of the woods and able to do this, it's a big undertaking.
Well, it is. I mean, you're trying to get four hugely successful, you know, top metal bands together at the same time. That's got to be rough when you guys are all in such demand across the world. You know, looking at the numbers, I mean, Megadeth is probably my favorite rock band of all time. But when you look at the entire genre, it seems that heavy metal itself is even more popular now outside of the United States. So is that fair to say, Dave?
You know, it's funny, Alex, because when times are rough, people, they buckle down, and heavy metal is I believe, the anthem of people, the underdog, and persevering. A lot of the lyrics that we talk about has to do with the, you know, fighting the good fight, and a lot of the music, it has that turbocharged feeling you were talking about. It gives us something to look forward to sometimes. You know, a lot of people work out to metal and stuff like that, but especially politically when we're in, you know, times like we are right now, globally, in our own country, in some of our own cities, you know, heavy metal is just music that's really popular with the feelings that everybody's experiencing right now.
Well, it is. Getting into the album itself, what is your favorite track if you had to pick one? And tell us about a few of the songs that are on the new album.
You know, I hate to sound cliche, but it changes from day to day. Depending on what part of the day, too, it's, you know, sometimes I like listening to the really aggressive stuff in the morning when I'm working out, and other times the last thing I want to do is wake up and listen to something like Never Dead because it's just, all right, let's go! But for me, I think probably politically the song, the people you were talking about, it's really touches home for me. 13 is important too. That was pretty much putting my life story into one song, and it's so hard to do that. I was looking at all the songs I wrote the other day we launched our new version of our website to go with our new record. I looked at this long list of all the songs that I'd written, and it was overwhelming to think each one of those is actually something I sat down and put pen to paper and had melodies and stuff like that, because you don't really think about your whole body of work when you're not concentrating on it. It just kind of goes past. I mean, unless you're self-obsessed.
Well, I noticed that you've got some of the same themes along the Liberty Line that you've always discussed in the lyrics, but you've got titles like We the People. Of course, the last album, Endgame, you know, getting into global extermination and things beyond Megadeth. But politically right now, I mean, obviously there's a message in this record, and I think that's why out of the gates it's gone to the top of the charts. What's your view on Occupy Wall Street, all the things that are happening in the world right now, the microphones they're putting in streetlights? What's Dave Mustaine's view on that?
Well, I didn't hear anything about the streetlights being outfitted with microphones until just yesterday, so it doesn't surprise me. I read 1984 when I was really young. I also read Animal Farm, which is, I'm sure, somehow ties into our present also. But, all of this stuff I've sang about for years, and I mean, I don't consider myself a prophet by any mean. I read books and paid attention when I was supposed to. So a lot of the things that I've learned and that I sing about is stuff we've all heard, you know, stuff you hear in Sunday school, stuff that you hear, you know, growing up in public school or private school if you're so fortunate. And I think that, you know, this record, when you look at all the stuff that I've written about it, I try and stay away from the political side, but it just happens. You know, it's kind of like you bleed it. You start writing it, and then all of a sudden it goes from a love song into a political song.
Well, there was a case that came out today where a guy went into Walmart with a baseball bat and told some old veteran they wanted money, and he wouldn't give it to him, so they beat him over the head. I mean, I saw your quote on the Australian radio show where you talked about the fact that you never thought you'd see a president playing groups off against each other like is happening right now. I mean, this is desperate class warfare, but then I see the White House and the Republicans to a great extent bought and paid for by the more corrupt elements of Wall Street that have gotten rich off bailout money. I mean, we already pay a record amount of taxes. When is this going to end?
I don't know. I mean, I have my own philosophy based on my faith, but that's personal to me, and you know, I don't want to get into it on the air because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that don't agree with me, so I don't want to piss anybody off. But, you know, for me, I know how it'll be end. So I'm you know, and I know I'm on the winning side, so I'm cool with all that. And even if I'm wrong, I'm definitely living better today than I was before. I changed my approach towards faith. I look at the statement that I made, you know, about this divisiveness that's happening. You know, it's real easy when you're the most powerful man in the world to say, enough, guys, let's put an end to this. I don't understand for the life of me. It's like the more I pay attention to politics, the more I don't want to pay attention to it. And the more it seems like, you know, Sarah Connor knew what she was doing.
Yeah, run to the hills.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, it's funny, and the more that you talk to people on the street, the more people are preparing for, you know, some kind of almost like a final battle or something. You know, it's really weird. I mean, I'm not talking to a bunch of factions or anything like that. You know, cults out here or anything like that. Not by any means, but you know, just talking to people, you know, that are scared. They're scared.
Well, people should be, and you know, when a hurricane's coming in days before it even forms, or an earthquake, birds, mice, animals, they know something's coming. Humans have that same discernment, sixth sense, whatever you want to call it. And government itself is digging in, is building bunkers. And I saw an ABC News article last week about middle-class people now in mass setting up doomsteads and things. Even though the government's saying everything's fine, we're not in a depression, go back to sleep, people instinctively or spiritually are gearing up for something. And I know that I have never really geared up for stuff, and now I've been doing it myself, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people used to rely on media for all of their information, and now with the, you know, even though the internet is full of a bunch of controversy and it's rife with the, you know, misinformation and disinformation, I know that it's also an outlet for a lot of people to be able to, you know, purvey the truth, and you know, people who, you know, maybe not people, you know, that would know me at all, so they don't appreciate what I got to.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Why did you, I mean, we know why you picked the name of the last album, Endgame. Why the iconography of 13 and you've got the Megadeth corporate skull man with the hear nothing, see nothing, say nothing, three monkeys, but he's turned around staring into some type of abyss. Can you break down your vision? Because I know you basically come up with the covers. The vision we're seeing here in this album cover for the new album 13 by Megadeth.
It's not that clever, really, Alex. It's the 13th record in my career. I started playing when I was 13. I was born on the 13th. People think that, you know, the number 13 is bad. Well, it wasn't for me. My life started on that day. And I know that the association with the superstition and the bad side of 13 had to do with the Templar Knights or something like that.
Yeah, that's when the Catholic Church rounded them up and killed a bunch of them. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I know that 13 shows up all over the place, and it's funny how much now, even more so that you know, we've used this number. It's like when you know your old lady gets pregnant, all of a sudden you see pregnant women everywhere, or you buy a Volkswagen and you realize everybody's got the same color Volkswagen. You know, as soon as I leaned on 13, it all of a sudden started popping up everywhere. And then the actual logo itself with the word 13 and the number 13 inside of it, that was our artist, John Lorenzi, who came up with that. When I first saw that, I went, wow, that's really clever.
Now, Dave, we've only got about 10 minutes left with you here, and I appreciate your time. I know you've been talking a ton and singing, and you're about to go on the road, and I don't want to burn you out here, but there's so many questions I want to go over. Hopefully you will come back with us, maybe even in studio here in Austin in the next few months when you get back from your South America tour.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Well, it was great actually seeing you up there in person in Dallas, I guess a year and a half ago. How time flies. Now,
yeah, that's a long time ago.
I think because of time constraints, after you leave us, I'm going to come back and actually play my favorite new tune on the album, We the People. But specifically, what are you talking about here? I mean, the lyrics speak for themselves, but what are you saying in We the People?
Wow. I think I'm saying what everybody's saying right now, that they're pissed. You know, what happened to all of the things that our grandparents worked for and set up? I mean, you know, you watch the dollar plummet, you see Social Security and all of these benefits that people had taken away. You watch these corrupt bankers take people's life savings and it disappears into a vapor. And then you have people like Madoff saying that he's happier, he's in jail, and that people look up to him there. Well, you know, I mean, the only difference between him is that the criminals are wearing jumpsuits instead of three-piece suits, you know. It's all the same, right? And to think about all these people whose lives have changed forever because of this, you know, the people who are defenseless, that's the thing that pisses me off. And while we were watching everything that was going on with I don't even know the word that I want to say, but just the immovability of the people in Congress and the people in the Senate and how the White House is all frozen right now, and it's mind-boggling. Somebody has to do something. There's got to be an American up there somewhere.
There's got to be. Looking at the Euro crisis that we predicted in the Obama deception, engineered implosion, and now they're setting up a banking dictatorship. And did you see it last week when the Pope called for global government?
Yeah, I did. I saw that for the global currency, too, yeah.
Wow, I mean, how could you, at 20 years old, I mean, I remember, you know, 25, 30 years ago, listening to your stuff before you were even in Metallica, because I had neighbors that were all, you know, into speed metal, thrash metal, when I was like 9 years old. I'm only 37. How were you writing about things like this? Because, I mean, people ask how I was politically formed. Some of it was listening to Megadeth.
Right, thank you, I think.
Look what you've done, Dave.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
You know, the great thing about helping people unleash their mind and let them become free thinkers is that the world's a fascinating place, and that we're so capable of doing so much good. And sometimes people don't agree with us, and they can mistake, you know, what we do. You know, good is sometimes the enemy of great. But, you know, for me, doing this kind of music, singing these kind of songs, having these kind of lyrics, I guess in some way I'm just doing my part, I believe, to make the world a better place through heavy metal music, even though that sounds, you know, like you should be having some kind of a nursery rhyme in the background or something, or some circus music or something. You know, it's true. You know, I don't know how to play another type of music. This is what I was given, and it's what I love, and being able to educate people is great. I mean, I know you know when you've talked to one of your listeners or you've met somebody out on the road and they get that aha moment where their eyes just dilate and all of a sudden they're like, I get it. I love that feeling.
Now, that's the real magic in the world. You know, they say the root of all evil is money. No, it's not. You know, this world system gets people to sell out for money they create out of nothing. What the system is really after is trafficking in the souls of men. This ruling Illuminati system, from my deep research, is interested in our minds and our souls. It wants to program us. What's your take on that statement, Dave?
Well, going back, that scripture, actually, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of incomplete. As far as the Illuminati and the elite and everything like that, it's hidden in plain sight. And, you know, all of the maneuvering that's going on. And you know, all anybody has to do, if they're curious, is look. You know, when you saw, you know, people talking about the New World Order, the reason New World Order is on this new record was because when I sang about it, you know, 12 years ago, it was a demo song, and it never got released officially, and because of the content in the song, I had to sing that song on this new record. So New World Order is on 13, and you know, watching that stuff happen as a little kid and having people say, oh, one day, you know, there's going to be the cataclysmic end to the world, and it's going to happen when you see all this stuff going on in Israel and in the Middle East and all this stuff where everybody can agree and have $1 and one church and one boss, and it's like, wow, is that possible? And now you see it they're even talking about it. Who would have even imagined talking about that?
Who would imagine the Pope coming out and saying one world currency, global government, bank of the world? It was the official church organ put that out. I mean, that is just incredible, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, you know, this is a very incredible world we live in, and we have a lot of power. People can rise up and say no.
Well, look at the testament to how many people you've reached. And again, that's God's plan. But different people hit different sectors of society. And your whole life has been a journey to bring you to where you are now. I know there's a lot more ahead, hopefully, from Dave Mustaine and Megadeth. Folks can go to Megadeth with an E in the death, megadeth.com, or just type in Dave Mustaine or Megadeth into your search engine. The first thing will lead you to their site. You can get the book, Mustaine, A Life in Metal. Dave, I want to have you back after you're done touring for a respite for a full hour on the book. I've actually ordered a copy. I'm going to read it. And I'm really enjoying the new album. I think it's even better than Endgame. And I thought Endgame was extremely powerful, especially the lyrics. But man, this new album feels like vintage Megadeth, but with something even better added to it.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, there's a lot of disinformation out there about him. I've met him in person several times and found him to be a very genteel, nice person. I didn't get any bad vibes from him. And I know that that's always the real signal. And I've been selling his book now for many years, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, Fritz Springmeier. One of the only places you can actually get it is at Infowars.com. And when I first read this a decade ago or so, I'm going to be frank with you. I'd met Fritz when he was here in Austin on local TV, down at the station, and met him at another conference event once. And I believed he believed a lot of it. But I, even though I snuck into Bohemian Grove and things, and I first met him right after I snuck in there, I still had trouble believing it. Since then, so much. He was the first guy I heard talking about the royal family of England not really being German, but being from Transylvania. And then, you know, really being Arabic and all this stuff, or Sephardic. And then now that's on national news now. So just a lot of really wild, wild stuff. And then over the years, so much of it, no matter how wild, has turned out to be true. Now, imagine Fritz. He had, I don't know how many books out everywhere he went, selling tons of them. I know we were selling a lot. I happen to know the publisher. I knew they were selling them. You know, he would have no reason to bomb a porno store or whatever and then rob a bank. And I remember him saying, they're breaking in my house, they're trying to set me up. I remember seeing it in the news, they'd been raiding him and stuff. And then, boom, they grabbed him, put him in jail. Now, remember, the government has a 98% conviction rate with the feds. And he's on probation. He's been in jail for many years. He's lost a lot of weight. I just saw him on Skype a minute ago. He looks better than he did just a few weeks ago in the one video I've seen of a little presentation he did. He'll be back again, but we got to be careful how much he gets into today. But he's agreed. What he wants to talk about is who he really is versus the lies of places like Wikipedia and what happened to him, you know, what he can say about prison, and where he sees the world, what, 7-8 years after being incarcerated. But they can do this to anybody. They can plant drugs on yours truly, or put horrible things on my computer, or, God forbid, kill my family and say I did it. I mean, this is the kind of stuff the globalists have been caught doing. Operation Northwoods talks about how to frame Americans for bombings that the Pentagon carries out. And frame-ups are legend. Now with DNA, we know about a third of people on death row are innocent. And we learn, there was a case in Texas a few weeks ago where the prosecutor for 20 years knew the person was innocent and knew who did it, but didn't care. It was about their career. They'll even put people with no criminal record like Fritz in jail. You know, usually they like to set somebody up who's already got a record, like people believe it. Very, very frightening. And so Fritz Springmeier joins us via video Skype. Fritz, for people that don't know who you are, you know, a lot of people that have been into the conspiracy, into reality, they, of course, know who you are. Over the years, I've said, you know, they've said, where's Fritz Springmeier? Where's Fritz Springmeier? Where's Fritz Springmeier? Or why don't you get his wife on? We've tried, as you know, many times to get her on. She obviously couldn't because she didn't want him to do stuff to you in jail. Now you've been out a while. But obviously, you know, even Freya Ricky Ross, who started speaking out against government drug dealing, now they're trying to throw him back in jail. So well, I want you to be very careful here today. We appreciate you giving us the first big interview that I know of. Correct me if I'm wrong. Good to have you here, Fritz. Tell us who you are, a brief snapshot of your life. You know, I know they said you weren't a West Point graduate. I actually went and looked it up in their rolls. There's your photo. There you are. But the point is, they've really attacked you. You hit some things that really scared them. Was it the Transylvanian bloodline? Is it the satanic rituals? I mean, why did they come? Well, get into who you are, what happened in prison, why they came after you, you think, and now what you see in the world.
Wow, that's a lot of questions. Okay, let's see what we can do with them. First, who am I? For myself, the image I have is of someone who's trying to model Christ. He's my role model, and that's all that really matters about my life is that I be Christ-like. All the labels that the system tries to slow... The system is labeling people right now, and their computer programs carry these labels. Like, for instance, two-thirds of the blacks in major cities are labeled as affiliates of gangs or gang members, you know. And so there's all kinds of labels that have been slapped on me, but the only label that I would want to be identified with is somebody who's trying to follow Christ. My life's been unusual. My father had the goal of helping save the world. He was an agricultural expert, and he went around the world living in many, many third world countries and trying to help them become self-sufficient. He made a career out of that. And he passed on the concept of trying to save the world to me. He said, you know, he said that if you're going to live life, when you leave it, the world a better place than what you found it. You know, sort of like that Boy Scout thing is when you go camping, leave the site better than what you found it. And I think I have honestly tried to do that and accomplish that to some degree. Why were they ticked off at me? I think it was a combination of a whole bunch of things that I did, but one of the things that they were really sensitive about was the mind control, the trauma-based mind control. You'll notice that I put out 3 books on it with about 40 pages of the actual codes that they use on the slaves. And once you have read those books and you're familiar with the codes, you can sit there and watch television and see them manipulating these total mind-controlled slaves left and right all around us. And people are constantly telling me that, you know, after they got in touch with my information, now that now they realize what's going on around them. Another thing, as far as the book, how to create
a totally undetectable mind control slave, which now they admit everything on TV is layers of programming depending on how programmed you are, and just someone watching TV since they were a small child, they are under a form of mind control. And actually, scientifically, even BBC admits, in a lower brainwave function than we were just 50 years ago, the public in general is in a trance.
Yes, people sit in front of their televisions in a trance. In a sense, they're almost worshiping that altar, their television altar. So true, what you just said. And of course, your listeners have heard a lot of this. So, you know, I'm not telling them probably anything that they're not already familiar with.
But you were a trailblazer. How did you discover all that? So that made him really angry at you.
Yes, I kind of bumped into the whole thing. I view myself as a historian, not as a conspiracy theorist. And I was doing a massive amount of research into the elite, you know, because we are now a government of the power elite, by the power elite, and for the power elite. And I was researching them to expose them, and I had the privilege of meeting four people that had been teamed up in the Illuminati to be a four-person team that were trying to get out. And they pointed me in the right direction on a lot of things. I had to do most of the research myself, but because they pointed me in the right direction, it really helped me. And then That's how I got into the mind control.
By the way, just a segue, I ran into a famous person a few weeks ago and had dinner with them, and they point blank told me about Illuminati rituals and Hellfire Club and stuff, but then said, I'm not going to talk about that on your show, maybe sometime. So the point is, we know these things existed and do exist, but I mean, you're sitting there having dinner with a well-known famous person, and they're just point blank telling you all about it. It's just incredible. And to find out that most of the people that are part of Oxford in any of the elite clubs are actually taken to the caves, engage in rituals. I mean, it's just so widespread. Fritz Springmeier here in just a minute, and I haven't asked him yet, but we're going to probably get him set up for Thursday as well during the 27-hour live. I say 27 because it's not really 24. When my show starts over at 11 a.m. Friday, I'll then do that show as well. So just an amazing guest, multiple guests, you know, every hour or so. Some guests like Salente will be more than an hour. It's going to be power-packed, the fourth annual 2011 Money Bomb. So check that out at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can start donating now if you want. We normally raise about $100,000 by the time it kicks off. $500,000 is our goals. We can hire a couple more IT people, get some other sites launched. We want to get launched, a couple new reporters, and a bunch of equipment we've got to get. Just a lot of things like that. And that's why we built this organization. And it takes a lot of devalued dollars to get the job done. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And also when you buy books and videos and tapes and things like Bloodlines, the Illuminati, you not only support our operation at the online bookstore, but you support the writers and researchers like Fritz Springmeier, political prisoner. Also, because they're in here telling me to plug this, I think Cade actually designed this, one of our graphics people. I love it. It says, ideas are bulletproof, we the people. And then it's got Article 1 inside the seal to the First Amendment. Ideas are bulletproof, we the people. People say, what does that mean? Well, the First Amendment. And on the back, InfoWars.com. A really original designer t-shirt. available at Infowars.com. And we couldn't have done any of this without all of you out there supporting the transmission. Also, in closing, with the plug here, don't forget, because the guys were asking, will we do this forever? And I doubt it. I think it's going to be a seasonal thing because we have another special we like to run where you sign up for a year, you can get 5.5 months free. It basically comes out to get almost half a year free when you sign up for that thing we always do around Christmas. But right now we're running a 15-day free trial. 15-day free trial. I think it'll probably, I haven't decided yet, but it's going to run at least into part of November. 15-day free trial, PrisonPlanet.tv, the nightly news, all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, the high-quality commercial-free podcast, all of our stuff going back almost 9 years, PrisonPlanet.tv, $5.95 a month. But right now it's free, PrisonPlanet.tv, so easy to sign up there. Now, going back to political prisoner Fritz Springmeier, you were talking about, hey, I've been on the other side, was it 7 or 8 years? And you need to know what it's like because a lot of you are probably going to be going there as well. We have the biggest prison population in the world. They're setting up a martial law internal checkpoint grid with federal goon forces. They're training neighbors to spy on each other. Jumbotron saying, don't trust your neighbor. It's like a dystopic film, sci-fi horror movie. 1984 meets Stephen King's The Running Man, meets Brave New World, meets The Island of Dr. Maru. So please continue, Fritz Springmeier.
Yes, pulling together several of your questions, it would be appropriate to talk about prison. One of the benefits, one of the good things that my father had taught me was to think for myself. And so as a teenager, I knew that at some point I was going to bump into the system. There was a little plaque I put up on my door. It said, when freedom fails, good men rot in filthy jails. And I told my sister, I said, because I think for myself and I'm willing to do things about what I see, at some point I'm going to end up in prison. I knew that I was just going to bump heads with this established system at some point in my life, and eventually it happened. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Skill is knowing how to do it. And virtue is actually doing it. And some of your listeners out there are actually going to have the virtue of getting out there and doing things. And when they do, you know, when freedom fails, the best men rot in filthy jails. That's where a lot of them eventually will end up. So what happens when you go to prison or jail? Well, two things. One is you're going to suffer loss. And the other one is you're going to wait. And you'll be lucky if you don't lose everything. And how long you wait, you don't know, because generally when you first get incarcerated, they don't tell you how long you're going to be in there, and you haven't been sentenced. So as far as you know, you could be in there the rest of your life or die in there. So even a week in a jail can seem like a very long time. So that's what I would forewarn people about, because a lot of people, when they get into jail, they start stressing that they're losing stuff, and they start stressing that they don't know how much time they're going to be incarcerated. Let it go. You know, it is what it is, and make the best of it and accept it. The best thing that can happen to get you through the time is to accept the reality that you've been incarcerated and start making the best of it. If you mentally fight the thing, you just go through paroxysms of torture. Accept what's happened and then move on in life and make the best of it. And that's what we have to do. We have to take the good with the bad and make the best of it, like you've been trying to do with your show, you know? I really love a lot of the things that you've done. I like your T-shirts that you're advertising, because I think part of the solution is we've got to laugh. You know, I mean, you've got tyranny, you know, legalized freedom T-shirt. You know, that's humorous. That's part of the answer. You know, I hope your listeners out there buy these kind of things and walk around and, you know, get some chuckles.
Well, I think what you're getting at here is don't let it crush your spirit and use it as a learning experience and feel sorry for the people that are in there feeding you GMO and soy-based food and enjoying your pain because they are hurting themselves, hurting their soul, literally tying heavy weights and chains around themselves in God's eyes and really weighting themselves down for the drop into Hades. But it's one thing to imagine it. You have lived through it, Fritz. You lost a lot of weight. Why is that?
Well, halfway through my bit, I started exercising, and it was intentional to lose the weight. I'm healthier. I've been exercising for the last 5 years on a regular basis. So I'm actually healthier than when I went in. That's one of the advantages. I took the time that I had to do, and I used it for good. While I was in there, I spent 5 years teaching GED. I got high school GED diplomas for a lot of the guys. I was using my time productively. And that's one of the things that I want to encourage people to do is, you know, we've just got to take the cards that we've been dealt and do the best we can with them. And of course, they're trying to deal us the worst cards that they can. But hey, it's not over until the fat lady in God's choir sings, you know?
Well said. No, please continue.
Well, I think you and some of the other people out there that are doing what you're doing are examples of what needs to be done. And that is, you know, you're trying to make people self-sufficient, get people to think for themselves, get people to quit being a sheeple and think for themselves. And if we can win the hearts of the people, their minds and bodies will follow along.
Do you forgive the people that lied about you and persecuted you and put you in jail for how many years was it, Fritz?
Well, I was given a 111-month sentence, and I did 8 years actual time. And then about a year ago, I was released. I was out for 3 months, and then for no reason, at least they never gave me any specific reason, they just rearrested me and held me on a marshal's hold under investigation for another 2.5 months and never charged me with anything. Like I say, never gave me a specific reason as to why they put me back into prison. And then they released me towards the end of March. So now I've been out for, approximately 7 months this last time.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next hour, we're joined by Governor Jesse Ventura. He's not doing any media right now, so we're extra lucky to have him with us for the next hour. We're going to get into the TSA. Where's this case going on that front? Can't get into much of it, though, because the judge hadn't ruled yet. We're going to get into the open calls here. Israel does say they're getting ready to strike Iran. I got that headline here. We're going to get into a host of issues with Jesse Ventura here today. Gov, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Alex. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, I tell you, so much is happening, but let's talk about the TV show first. How's that going?
Well, it's going well. You know, we had to change it a bit this year. We've got some new personnel on board, and of course, that ties into my lawsuit with the TSA, so I can't fly anymore. or at the moment, I can't fly. And so anywhere I go, I have to drive. And so that limits the ability I have to get around the country naturally. So I have to do it in segments where I'll take off, like the last one where you and I saw each other. That was a two-week run for me, you know, in my RV driving around the country. And it's rough. It's very tiring. You know, it's a lot of fun, but it's also very difficult. And you don't realize how convenient the world is with the airlines today until you got to get back driving again. But I got to tell you something, in all honesty, Alex, I don't miss the airports because I so despise the fact that I have that there's somewhere in this country that if I go there, I'm treated completely like a criminal. And so, you know, and in fact, one of the guests on my shows, it was interesting, an elderly gentleman that used to work at NASA and was involved in various high-level government projects, including Star Wars and things of that nature. He had to interview with me in Vegas because he lives in Salt Lake, and it was too far for him to drive from Salt Lake to Minneapolis. And the interesting thing is, he's following my lead. He refuses to fly also. You know, he said, for the same reason, he said, in the United States of America, I do not believe that I should go anywhere where I'm treated like a criminal. And you are today at the airport. You're treated like criminals.
Well, I've talked to bus drivers and I've talked to truck drivers and others. I went and looked the numbers up a few months ago when I was first told this. Did you know that people on buses in just the last 5 years has more than doubled? And now you see passenger buses everywhere. It's become a booming business. And when people are surveyed, it's because of the TSA. They do not want to be groped.
Well, it's the whole concept of it, Alex. It's a place where in a free country, if you want to learn what it's like to be put under martial law, go to the airports. Because that'll give you an exact feeling of being put under government complete surveillance. You're patted down and you're searched. You're x-rayed. There's nothing you can do out there, basically, that you don't fall under some type of government, oppression, for lack of better words. So it's a place where people should go and learn from it. Because the more they give up their freedoms, the more our country is going to turn into that. And so I urge people, go to the airports and notice how they're run and notice everything that goes on and notice the government control and the whole thing about it, because the more we give up our freedoms, the more we will be living under that type of jurisdiction.
Well, you're right, Tim, and I guess you're getting at the point that it acclimates everybody. It sets the parameters for this to be normalized behavior.
Well, it's a cancer, Alex. It's just like toll roads on highways. The minute you put the first toll road on a highway, it spreads like cancer. Because then any time government needs money, they're going to put a toll out on a road. And this is the same thing. When governments start eroding your freedoms away, they're going to do it in a slow manner. But it's like a slow-spreading cancer. It'll start with the airports, and then it's going to move on to other things. Once they're secured down, then you're going to see more and more. I mean, when I drive across country now, I have to down in southwestern United States, you have to come to immigration halts out in the middle of the desert.
Stay there, Gov. Gov, we got to go to break. Let's come back and get back into the TSA, the domestic checkpoints, the Border Patrol, all of us, straight ahead with Jesse Ventura.
From his center, Big Brother, mainstream media, Gov. Continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is, of course, Wednesday, the second day of November 2011, on this live Wednesday edition. We're going to do a 27-hour broadcast kicking off 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that after Governor Jesse Ventura leaves us. We're going to have free audio streams of all of it. That's all posted at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Dave Mustaine was on with us at the first 30 minutes of the show today. Of course, one of the biggest rock bands ever. And when he heard I had Jesse Ventura coming on during the break when I was saying bye to him, he said, do me a favor, thank Governor Ventura for his stand and what he's doing with the TSA and other issues. So I thought I would raise that to the governor. So A lot of people appreciate your lawsuit and where that's going. And before we get into that, Governor, in the last little segment, you were getting into the TSA, and you were talking about 100 miles into the U.S., that's most of the country now, all the way around the nation, they have constitution-free zones. In fact, we'll put a map of it up if the guys can find it. Just Google constitution-free zone, where the Border Patrol searches your vehicle. I had them try this twice in the last month and literally had to have verbal standoffs with them, Gov. So you were getting into that point.
Well, yeah, you know, people need to understand, again, going back that, you know, our freedoms, if they continue to erode, then they're going to go like cancer. It'll be a slow process, but it'll eventually lead to the death sentence to democracy and freedom. And, you know, you drive around the country like I do now because I don't fly because of my situation with the TSA and my pending lawsuit. And you come up to these immigration checkpoints. And it seems our country is so concerned over illegal Mexican immigrants that they're willing to give up our freedoms and our Constitution to stop them, which I think is absurd and ridiculous. These checkpoints, you come up to them like in Arizona and California, and they're, you know, 50 to 100 miles from the border. And the last one I pulled up to, I rolled my window down, and the guy comes up and he says, "Are you a U.S. citizen?" And I looked at him and I said, "You don't have the constitutional authority to ask me that, young man." And he said, "Well, that's what we're required to do." And so I, you know, and I realized the guys that are doing it, they need to look at their conscience too, because they're out there violating the Constitution of the United States because what their superiors are telling them to do. And it's their jobs. Well, at some point you have to measure your job against your own beliefs. And so I understand they're the knuckle draggers. They're the guys on the ground. But I still ask them, I go, "How do you feel knowing that you're defying the United States Constitution? You're racially profiling, and you're asking me to prove my citizenship when the Constitution tells me I don't have to do that within the United States." Now, if I were at the border, that's different. You're crossing into the country then. But these places are 100 miles from the border. And we seem to be okay with them. I heard now where Obama, not changing the subject, but I heard Obama is now going to start raiding the medicinal marijuana places in California.
They've been raiding them.
Well, that's outrageous. Whatever happened to the people's vote? The people of that California voted that they wanted medicinal marijuana to be prescribed by doctors as needed. And the federal government is ignoring the people's vote. I'm outraged over that. And if we don't start taking our country back at the ballot box, then we're to blame for it. And when I say take it back at the ballot box, stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. They're destroying our nation right before your very eyes.
Governor, I want to go back through what you've just said here, and it's on record. They actually let the illegals through at these 100-mile-deep checkpoints. Homeland Security has put a freeze on deportations, including felons, and Congress has now announced a subpoena. So it's purely about domestic checkpoints, and I got an RV because I want to stop flying as much when I travel. And twice, 98 miles into Texas, I pull up. They go, "Are you a U.S. citizen?" I'm like, "Do I look like one?" "Yes." And they said, "Pull over, we're searching you," and I got in a big confrontation. The next time I said, "I'm not going to be smart mouth about it, basically. I'm going to actually say, yes, I am." And then they said, "Pull over, we're searching you." They had a drug dog, and I said, "It's unconstitutional. It's one thing to check my, because I've looked at the Supreme Court ruling, to ask if I'm a citizen. But it's another to have a drug dog." And he said, "It's not for drugs, it's for narcotics." The same thing. So these are domestic checkpoints. But we were in Las Vegas, and you were about to do an interview. And I'm sitting there, and I said, "Hey, Gov, did you hear this week they announced TSA checkpoints all over the country?" And you're like, and I understand why you're like, "You got to be kidding," because that is such Nazi Germany, such Soviet Russia. You said, "Oh, come on, Alex." So I showed you on my iPhone, mainstream news. You took about 20 minutes and read a few articles about it. Now that you know that you're suing them for your rights, you haven't, the judge hasn't ruled yet. I want you to talk about that on whether or not you can go forward with the suit. All this is happening, and now they're announcing all over Florida, Tennessee, you name it, you pull up to a TSA checkpoint with local police under their command. Where's the 10th Amendment? You know about that as a governor. And they want to come on board and search trucks and passenger vehicles. And they're saying they may even search your person. I mean, this is worse than the Soviet Union.
And they're doing this in lieu of what? Terrorism?
Yeah.
So they think that we're so, I mean, if the country doesn't wake up to the fact that terrorism is a fraud, and now granted, there are groups in the world that do bad things, but for our country to put such a focus on, it's a fraud, it's a red herring. You're absolutely right, Alex. If this is going on, which I see it, you know, like I said, I drive around the country and I come up to these points, and I think that every driver that comes up to these points should ask these people why they're violating the Constitution. Be polite, but ask them that. Ask them why they're violating your constitutional rights. You know, these guys right on the ground, because they need to be made aware of what they're doing, too, if they don't know it already.
Well, behind the scenes, Gov, they're giving a manual saying if you raise the Constitution or you got a Ron Paul sticker or a Libertarian sticker, you're a bad guy. That's the MIAC report. And it's totally, but I mean, imagine, terrorists could attack a random cornfield in South Dakota or in North Texas. I mean, do we have to have somebody in a black uniform randomly anywhere? If terrorists attack shopping malls, are they going to have TSA there? They're saying yes. They're now announcing they're going to have TSA in shopping malls, Governor.
Well, it's getting that bad. I mean, I went to Minnesota Lynx basketball games this summer. And I walked up to go in. I have a front row ticket. I'm the former governor of Minnesota. And I had a security guy stop me and ask me to empty my pockets because my wallet and my keys were in one pocket that was bulging. And I looked at the guy and I said, I'm the former governor. You got to be kidding me. I said, do I have to sue you too as well as the TSA? And so it's happening. Now, maybe they have more right to do it there because it's a building that's run by private industry, the NBA or the WNBA, and I suppose they can set up any rules they want. I don't know about all that. But it's getting sickening where you as a citizen have to walk around and worry about what's next. They're going to throw us up against walls and pat us down because we might walk funny down the street.
Well, it's like something out of the movie Red Dawn, a fictitious movie about a Soviet takeover of the West Coast. I'm sure you know, NFL-wide, they've now instituted from the ankle to the neck, and they admit they squeeze your wife's breast, they grab your genitals, and this is freedom. Now, the Green Bay Packers rebelled. They said, this has actually hurt our ticket sales. We're not going to do it.
Remember, the Green Bay Packers are the only NFL team that's publicly owned.
Ah.
See, always remember that, and you'll never see it again. The Green Bay Packers are grandfathered in, but they are owned, basically, by the people of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. That's why.
They're all shareholders. They're the only publicly held professional sports franchise, to my knowledge.
That's a great idea. We should do something. That's how it should be run.
Absolutely. That way you wouldn't get teams holding up like Minnesota right now. They're bending over backwards, going to raise taxes. They're going to violate treaties with the Native Americans and bring in more gambling to build the Vikings a new stadium.
Talk about action.
All this aggravation is satisfaction.
That's Jesse Ventura suing the TSA. We'll tell you where that lawsuit's going here in a minute. And as Elvis says, a little less talk, a little more action. Let's get back to Jesse Ventura. Gov, there's so many points here, but since During the break, you know, I said, what a great quote. Freedom is safety. That's as good as Ron Paul's legalized freedom. And you went on to say, well, in your own words, I'd rather face the danger than live on my knees. And then you pointed out, look how many people prescription drugs kill. Look how many people honeybees kill. I mean, to claim we've got to have armed men everywhere putting us in shackles to keep us safe from turbaned men, it's ridiculous.
Well, what's ridiculous is we're accepting it. That's what's ridiculous, Alex, is that the United States people are accepting this. How naive are we? All the guys my age out there, how many of you sit back today and look at the Vietnam War and say, gee, that was a mighty good idea? Where the hell are we out there today? I don't know. Maybe it's the fluoride in the water, Alex. Maybe the Prozac in the water has gotten everybody so numb in the head that they just accept this without any problems. I don't know.
No, that is it, Governor. The sodium fluoride does give a sevenfold increase in cancer. It does reduce aggression in males. The GMO in rats does basically feminize them. This is...
It's Prozac. It's Prozac in the water. Call it what it is.
It is. You're right.
Unfortunately, I've drank well water the majority of my life, so I haven't got my dose. So that must be why I am like I am.
Man, I grew up in Dallas where it was like 2%, 2 parts per million, which is off the chart. And I don't know how I'm still aggressive, but
imagine what you'd be without it.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I'm not putting up with it. You're not putting up with it. Let's talk about your lawsuit. I mean, they haven't even ruled if it can go forward
yet. The good thing is this is the longest they've ever taken on a ruling of this nature. My attorney told me that. Every other one that's brought a suit against the TSA or against Homeland has been ruled upon in less time than mine has now. So maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. I'm waiting to hear, you know, can I go to court or can't I? And my belief not be able to go to court. This is the United States of America. It's supposed to be. Can't I have judgment by my peers?
And Gov, at that critical juncture, your phone cut out for just a moment. Can you repeat what you just said?
Well, I'm getting another call that I'm ignoring right now, so bear with me. But what I'm stating is, why can't I sit in judgment by my peers? That's all I ask for. I want my day in court in front of a jury and let a jury decide if Jesse Ventura poses a threat.
Well, as a citizen, you should have your day in court. Not only should they find this to be a federal power grab, 10th Amendment violation, 4th Amendment violation, due process violation. I mean, it literally is martial law in their own internal manuals. That's what they're actually getting us ready for. That's now coming out in the news in just the last few days that this is to be on the streets. It is a takeover. But how could you not have your lawsuit go forward?
Does what the government wants, they want it to go straight to the Court of Appeals, 3 judges paid by them, instead of in front of a jury. I want it in front of a jury.
Now, you've alluded to me privately, and you said you're going to have a big press conference if they don't hear your case. You want a hint to folks, or what's going on in your mind if they don't let you have your day in court?
Well, if they don't let me have my day in court, then what you heard today will be mild. Let me put it that way. What you heard on your show today will be mild compared to the press conference I'll have if they don't let me go to court. Anyway, that's where that's at, Alex. The other thing that irks me, did you see that thing on painkiller prescription drugs and how many people it kills every year?
More than 20,000, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yet we banned marijuana. Yet the Obama administration is going to raid marijuana dispensaries in California, and they allowed prescription drugs. Marijuana's never killed anybody.
I had a football buddy, and I had a girlfriend who years later, in high school, died on taking too many pain pills. I mean, I know people currently who've died. I mean, this is a scourge. 300,000 a year die from prescription interactions.
Well, let's face it. Rush Limbaugh was addicted to pain-killing drugs. Now, if it can addict a great American like Rush, And of course, I'm being a bit sarcastic. I hope you get that. I mean, if Rush Limbaugh, and yet they're out there busting for marijuana. They're busting Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah, we were hanging out with Willie a while back. I'm sure you've seen since then twice he's been grabbed.
It's horrible. Why aren't we taking marijuana and turning it? People need to remember that the Constitution and the flag are made of marijuana.
By the way, you know, it was an internal checkpoint that he ran into last in South Texas, 100-plus miles into the country, and they said, you're Willie Nelson. Do you have marijuana? And he said, what do you think? I mean, isn't that ridiculous that obviously Willie Nelson's got marijuana?
Well, and who cares? Does it affect Willie's singing? No. Does it affect Willie's popularity? No. Does it make Willie feel better, probably? Yes. Why is that against the law?
He's almost 80 and still jogs 2 or 3 miles every morning.
Well, and the point, hey, you know, the point of the matter is let's take control of our country, let's get our hats on straight, and let's figure out what needs to be against the law and what shouldn't be against the law, and marijuana should not be against the law. If they have prescription painkillers that kill thousands of people every year, multi-thousands, prescribed, and I just saw a show where the kids, the teenagers now, they're not taking pot, they're taking prescription painkillers. That's the drug of choice now amongst the young people.
I don't know how they take it. I broke my leg once. After surgery, they gave me pills, and I get nauseous when I eat one of those opiates. Governor, shifting gears into the election, you said 3-4 months ago and then again a month or so ago here on this radio show that Ron Paul should leave the Republican Party and should run as a Libertarian because they've got ballot access in at least 48 states, maybe 50. They debate those last two. I made the point on air and also made it to the Ron Paul campaign that if he doesn't look like he's going to get the nomination by February, March, you know, March or so, that then he should go over just so he can inject real issues into the campaign. But he's going to have a lot more support third party than Ross Perot. Well, now he announced last week, for those that don't know, you can just type it into Google, that he's looking at perhaps a third party run, and that would probably be as a Libertarian. The Libertarians have said, let us know in the next 3-4 months. We'll give you, obviously, the nomination. Jesse A., what's your view on that? And Ron Paul basically responding to you, and would you run as his VP?
Well, first of all, I think Ron Paul's handling this brilliantly because he needs to stay a Republican, to stay in the debates, to stay out there on television as much as possible. So he should cling to the Republicans all the way till they make their choice.
Look at the shoes you're filling.
To me, the Republican debates are virtually unwatchable. I watch them for about 10 minutes, and I'm so disgusted. But the other day, I forced myself to watch because I wanted to hear whenever Congressman Paul spoke. And whenever he did, he clearly is the only one that makes any sense whatsoever out of the whole bunch of candidates up there. Clearly, by far and away, in my opinion, he is the heads above everyone else. Now, he's playing it brilliantly. Ride that Republican wagon all the way till they boot him off it, which you know they will. And then as soon as they boot him off it, which they choose their candidate, whatever, then he immediately should jump to the Libertarian Party. He'll have ballot access in virtually every state. He'll have the momentum of the Republican all the time on TV with them. And he should get numbers big enough to where they'll have to include him in the debates. If they don't include him in the debates, we should start rioting in the streets.
Wow, what a statement from Jesse Ventura. I guess it is getting down to the point where this government's acting about like the Redcoats. If you read the Declaration of Independence, everything in there is exactly what this out-of-control government, hijacked by the Federal Reserve, is doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you notice that when Ron Paul brings up auditing the Federal Reserve, all those other candidates head for the hills. They don't speak a word about that. Not one word from any other candidate up there, including the current front runner, the godfather at Godfather's Pizza, Kane.
Yeah, by the way,
he doesn't even touch it either.
By the way, his solution is new taxes on top of the income taxes. Can you imagine, Governor, the feds involved in sales taxes and VAT, the hell of that?
Well, you know, if it legitimately could be 9, 9, and 9, I don't see nothing wrong with that, really. That's less than I'm paying now.
Yeah, but you know they're going to jack it up.
But, oh, of course. And I would like, you know, I'm an advocate of the national sales tax to abolish the income tax, which, of course, was never constitutionally passed in the first place.
Sure, sure, but only if you can completely get rid of the income tax and have an amendment against it.
Yep, get rid of the income tax and go to a national sales tax. I've been an advocate of that for 20 years now, you know, because my belief is clear. My belief is wealth is not what you earn. Wealth is determined by what you spend.
I agree with that. It shouldn't penalize savings and investment. Now expanding on that, but to be specific, putting you here on the hot seat.
All right.
If Ron Paul approached you about being his VP, because I happen to know there's been some scuttlebutt concerning that. If Ron Paul approached you, you know, running as a libertarian, and said, "Jesse, Governor, I'd like you to run as my VP," what would you say?
Well, first of all, I would say this: that would be the best insurance policy Congressman Paul could ever have, because nobody's going to assassinate him and let me be in charge.
No.
So he definitely, if you want to look at it, would be the lesser of the two evils from their perspective. So I would give it serious consideration. I would not say right now whether yes or no, because naturally I would have to discuss it with my family before I would do any venture like that. But if it were to come to pass next spring or next summer when I get back from Mexico, if the iron's hot, I don't know. You know, I guess I'll go to Mexico and think about it this winter, and by the time I get back, it ought to be time, if a decision has to be made, that'll be the time to make it.
Governor, what about this angle? If Ron Paul doesn't run, if he doesn't get the nomination, we should all push for that, obviously, using that machinery against, you know, against it, power structure against itself, and he doesn't, for whatever reason, his wife's health, whatever, run as a libertarian. What about Jesse Ventura seeking that nomination? Even if he didn't win, and I know you don't do stuff to not win, but you would still win by being on the field, injecting real issues, and being in the national debate. I mean, my God,
that would require the libertarians to come and ask me, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, and the libertarians have never done that to me before, so I guess the ball would be in the libertarians' corner, wouldn't it?
But if you got invited to that party, you would look at the invitation.
Well, I am a libertarian. You know, I've taken their exam. I pass it with flying colors. You know, I am a libertarian. I just like to say small L.
Sure.
You know, I believe there is a place for government. I believe that government has a place in an organized society, that you must have it, where you have some libertarians that don't even buy into that.
Yeah, they're anarcho-capitalist.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and so, you know, I consider myself a libertarian, small L. I'm fiscally conservative. I'm socially liberal. I don't believe that government should be in your private life whatsoever. They have no business there.
Well, regardless, you want to audit and abolish the Federal Reserve. What would you do as president? What's your view of Libya? He's won a peace prize. It would last days, not weeks. Went on 6 months. 40
you know,
to 50.
You know what I find? I'll tell you what I find bad about the Libyan situation. Our media and our government had no problem showing us Gaddafi's dead body multiple times, correct?
Yes.
And yet they outlawed showing our caskets coming home from the war, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
That is the biggest piece of propaganda crap I've ever seen in my life.
You're right. Listen, I got
they
sense.
They will sit and show Gaddafi dead 50 times over, the quote-unquote Islamic enemy, but they won't show our boys coming home from these phony wars that shouldn't be fought.
By the way, I on YouTube the other day showed Walter Cronkite showing the little girl with the napalm with her skin burned off.
Yep.
And then I showed a modern girl with her jaw blown off in Sirte, and they blocked the video and called it obscene. No, the not letting the people see what these wars are doing in our name, that's obscene.
Exactly. It's obscene to stick your head in the sand. It's obscene as a citizen citizen and a taxpayer of this country that your money pays for these wars, and yet you don't want anything knowledge of them. You better wake up, people out there, and you better start looking at these wars, and you better start looking. Do you realize, Alex, that my country has been at war over half my life?
Yes.
And I'm a post-World War II baby. I was born in 51, and we've been at war for over half my life. No other country in the world can come close to making that statement.
Plus, these aren't wars where we got attacked. These are wars for the corporate interests that have taken our country.
Totally. Every war we've fought since World War II, I have yet to figure out what for and what was it fought over. It was fought over the phoniness of the Cold War, which we all now know is a setup on both sides. If you do any historical reading on the other side or our side, or talk to people that lived behind the Iron Curtain, they were getting told the same thing we were getting told. They were getting told we have to stop the capitalist imperialists from taking over the world, while we were being told we have to stop the domino effect of communism.
Meanwhile, the
when
same...
are people going to wake up, Alex, and realize all of that was planned?
It's come out. You're right. They've released the KGB files and others that both sides were being financed by the mega banks who were actually playing both sides off against each other and using the crisis to create massive debt and authoritarian control, just of different flavors in both hemispheres.
Absolutely. And so the point of the matter is, again, it comes back to we as a people of the United States, are we going to stand for this or not? And the simplest way, is if Ron Paul becomes a libertarian, elect him president. That's the only way. If we keep electing Democrats and Republicans, we are going to get the same old, same old. Why do you think these people are protesting out there? They're protesting because it's equal between both of these parties. They are both completely controlled by Wall Street. Both parties. I mean, take a look. It doesn't matter what president we have, Democrat or Republican. Our Department of Secretary of Treasury always comes out of Goldman Sachs in modern times.
Yes.
Every last one of them. Now, is that happenstance? I don't think so.
All right, Gov, we've only got about 8-9 minutes left, and I've got 4 or 5 points I want to throw out there at you. But first off, we carry all of Jesse Ventura's books, all of the recent modern ones. We have Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. That's available now in paperback. We have Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, his newest, very powerful. He has American Conspiracies, excellent as well. All of these books are great.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Jesse Ventura has called in. He's, I guess, completed the press conference there in front of the federal courthouse. And again, if people missed the Associated Press and ABC News and all the rest of it, the judge, after waiting months and months and months to rule if the case could go forward, said it was the wrong venue. So for me, that's not even so much thrown out as a punt. As a chicken type behavior of just basically passing the buck. And we're joined now by former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, best-selling author, and of course, friend of this show, host of the popular television show Conspiracy Theory. Governor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Alex. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Not so much a pleasure to talk to the other media, but always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, sir, a lot of people appreciate your courage and what you've done. Please tell us what you said at the press conference and what the rat establishment media was behaving like.
Well, they mainly just listened to what I had to say, and I basically told them that I've now been stripped of my patriotism, that I have no more feelings for this government that runs this country today because, quite simply, they deny me my right in court. It seems that going after veterans seems to be the trend right now. Every time veterans try to exercise their rights, constitutional rights, we seem to be getting tramped down. I mean, the one serviceman that was beaten up exercising his right to protest, and now myself wanting to exercise my right and have a trial by jury, and the government won't allow it to happen. It's that simple.
Now, Governor, I mean, obviously, I was stunned. I mean, even though I was knew it was possible when you were kind enough to call me last night and keep me abreast of what happened, and you said that they'd thrown it out, and then I went and looked it up, and it showed up in the media. But the way this judge did it, correct me if I'm wrong, because you've got the actual ruling, not just what the news is saying, said, well, this was the wrong venue.
What they claim, Alex, is they have no jurisdiction. Well, if the federal court doesn't have jurisdiction over a constitutional question, who the hell does?
Okay, because the way I read it was they were saying that it need to be to be another circuit court, but you're saying, your lawyer's saying in the ruling, no, they're just saying the feds don't have jurisdiction over the TSA.
Well, what they're saying is that I have to go to the Court of Appeals. In other words, I'm guilty, and I have to go to the Court of Appeals to be proved innocent. I can't have a jury trial. It has to be, they're stating it has to go to the Court of Appeals, which are three federally paid judges who will make the decision, and they say it's because of secrecy reasons, so clearly they won't allow an open trial to happen concerning the Fourth Amendment of illegal search and seizure of our Constitution.
Governor Jesse Ventura, 2 days ago when you were on with us, you made the central point that it's martial law when you go to the airport, and now they're on the highways. And look at this ruling. They're saying national security, it's secret. We can't tell you. You're a governor. You're a Navy veteran, you know, honorably discharged, highly decorated, all of this, well known. You have to be groped by somebody. And when I was going through the TSA in Las Vegas, when I was out there with you a few weeks ago, when I was flying back to Austin, I said, how do I know you're not a terrorist? How do I know you're not guilty until proven innocent if I'm guilty? And the guy said, I can be trusted. The government's checked me out. I mean, it's this idea that we're all criminals. We're all prisoners. Can you elaborate on your statement of what this country's now become and your statement about martial law?
Well, clearly, Alex, is that, you know, we're all guilty now until we prove we're innocent. And the problem is, we can't even prove we're innocent in front of a jury. You know, I always thought we were guaranteed the right of a jury trial in this country, a trial of your peers, of your citizens. Clearly, the government doesn't want this going in front of citizens because obviously they'd lose. And if they lost, it would open up Pandora's box. And the other thing they don't want, the other question they don't want out there is the question that, why is it the government's job to provide security for the airlines when the airlines are a private sector business?
Well, what about, you were a governor. You know more about the 10th Amendment than I do. Since when do the feds, I mean, I can send you the PSAs. They're now airing TV ads showing TSA at Buccaneers games and at shopping malls searching people. And Governor, they're now rolling out on the streets.
Absolutely they are. When you drive around the country now, our border agents are no longer at the border. They're out in the deserts. They're out on our interstate highways. I predict, Alex, that within the decade, you will have to show ID to travel state to state in this country because the Constitution is no more and the Bill of Rights are no more. That was proven to me today when I wasn't allowed to go to court on them.
Governor, you know, you've always told me that you know, you stay focused, you don't give up. I mean, I think the answer is, and obviously you'd run to win, but run for president to try to, you know, say restore the Bill of Rights, restore the Constitution, legalize freedom, legalize America. I mean, you would get a lot of attention and could really put the heat on these people. And I understand, you know, there's a lot of other countries, but you love this nation. It's not America that went wrong. It's this corrupt system. I mean, obviously you're percolating right now. You're thinking, but what's racing through your mind? I mean, what's next?
Well, I talked about it at the press conference today that I guess the only recourse I could have would be to win the presidency. And then could I get my day in court as the president? You know, that would be my next question. As president of the United States, could I go to court over my Fourth Amendment rights? I don't know, Alex. I mean, I can't run for president because I don't have ballot access in all 50 states. And that would require a great deal of money, a great deal of time. And the system is set up so that you can't achieve that. That way the Democrats and Republicans, the two-party dictatorship, they hold the stranglehold on all our elections. Because an independent like me cannot get ballot access in all 50 states.
Well, Governor, you've always been a winner. And you won as a trailblazer in Minnesota, out of nowhere as governor. And the people are more angry and more awake than they've ever been. You got one group of people that are more sheeple than ever, but a lot of folks are really waking up. Ron Paul is saying, hey, I might run as third party. The libertarians are saying, come on over. If Paul doesn't take it, they're the ones that have ballot access. I think it's time for them to right now approach you and say, because you've got the name, you've got the knowledge, you've got the track record. And again, I understand the instinct, because I have it myself, to just get out of here. And I won't blame you if you do that, because, you're a Navy guy. There's such a thing as abandoning ship. But you've been a captain. You've been a governor. And I think we need you to, try to save the republic. I mean, you've already done so much. I hate to say do more, but...
Well, let me put it to you this way, Alex. The ball's in the libertarian court now. They have to approach me, or they have to approach Congressman Paul, whoever they want to approach to be their presidential candidate. I'm not going to approach them. They will have to approach me.
What is your mental... when you got the call from your lawyer and heard about the ruling, what was the first thing went through your mind? And please give us any other points that you made at the press conference, sir.
Well, what went through my mind, it was very disheartening. It was like having your guts pulled out of you. They gutted me as far as my patriotism goes. I have no patriotism whatsoever to this government today. As my T-shirt say, I love my country, not my government. And I think that speaks volumes the way I feel right now, Alex. I have no love for the government of the United States of America today.
How's Terry taking it, your wife?
Like always, she's a battler. She stands by me no matter what I do. I couldn't ask for a better person that way, and she'll grit her teeth and get through it, I hope.
Well, we were hoping for sanity in government, but it just, we tried in Texas.
It's not going to happen, Alex. When a citizen can't go to court to fight for the Bill of Rights, his rights, his basic Bill of Rights in this country, when they won't allow you to go to court over that, well, that tells you. I will now refer to this country no longer as the United States of America. I will refer to it as the fascist states of America, because that's what I believe we are, Alex. We are fascist now.
Well, there's no doubt. In fact, there's a quote in the Associated Press where you said, this is not the country I grew up in. America is now a fascist nation.
Yeah, and I quoted Kevin Costner today at the press conference. I said, this is not the country I was born in, and it's certainly not going to be the country I die in.
Well, look, the country's been hijacked, and yes, the people...
We got to take it back.
Well, I know you're a busy man. As soon as you leave, I'll have 50 questions that pop in my head. This is all stunning.
Well, unfortunately, Alex, I got to take off, so we got to end it now, but I'll try to get back to you. If you'll have me on next week, we'll talk about it more in depth next week.